Ask anyone with concerns about pesticides in the environment, and there's a good chance glyphosate will be at or near the top of their list of concerns. Glyphosate is the main ingredient in the popular herbicide Roundup, and the city of Eugene announced in June it would stop using glyphosate on city properties with some qualifications. The glyphosate moratorium certainly has some fans. Let's talk to two organizations in support. Beyond Toxics, based in Eugene, is one of those. Lisa Arkin is the executive director and our guest once again. Lisa, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have
you
here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Bridget Daugherty is with us as well. She's a staff writer at consumersafety.org. Bridget, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa, let's start with you. What did the city ban and where?
The city put a moratorium on products with glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in a common herbicide, and they put that moratorium without an end date on common and highly used areas like parks, playgrounds, trails, places where people are likely to hang out.
So highly used areas implies that lesser used areas like around, say, city maintenance sheds or something might still get the use of Roundup?
I don't know about city sheds, but I know that Eugene Parks and Recreation Department has a lot of what they call natural areas and large open space areas. So I don't know if they're going to continue using it in places like that.
All right. So that's still an open question, but no end date, as you point out. So it's a moratorium, but not one with a specific end date set.
That's right. Yep.
And Lisa, how long had you been requesting such a ban from the city of Eugene?
Well, we've been talking about how to make Eugene parks and open spaces safer for not only all the families that use them, but for all the wildlife that visit them. So recently, the city of Eugene became a Bee City USA and has pledged to do everything they can to protect pollinators in our parks. And so the issue of glyphosate does come up. So I wouldn't say we were demanding a ban or moratorium, but we have been having really meaningful conversations about all the kinds of chemicals that are used in parks and how we can move away from them.
Bridget Daugherty, let's talk in general terms about the concerns about glyphosate. What are they?
The main concern that's been really popular in the news for the past almost year is that there's a very strong correlation between glyphosate use and cancer diagnosis. There's currently almost 20,000 plaintiffs who, in the United States alone, who are suing Bayer, which is now the owner of Monsanto, Roundup's manufacturer. Roundup is the very popular commercial weed killer that uses glyphosate as an active ingredient. And so there have been three cases in the U.S. within the past year that plaintiffs have won tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. Every jury has unanimously found that that Roundup and glyphosate are the reasons why these consumers are being diagnosed with cancer, and all of the plaintiffs have terminal diagnoses.
And how regulated is glyphosate in any products that contain glyphosate?
Regulation depends on where it's being used. In the U.S., glyphosate is considered, I'm air quoting right now, but it's considered safe. There is no precautionary instructions on the bottles for any of the commercially sold glyphosate for how you can safely spray it, which is actually, that was one of the like driving factors in the first plaintiff's case. However, in Europe, glyphosate is much more regulated. Ireland and France are in the process of phasing it out countrywide. It's going to be completely illegal there within the next 2 years, I believe. And Austria recently banned it nationwide, too. So it depends on what region you're asking about.
All right. Well, you can forgive people for being a little confused about glyphosate and Roundup, because just on Saturday, in two separate newspapers, that one headline says EPA won't approve warning labels for Roundup because the EPA says it's safe. And on the other brief from the business pages, Bayer, which, as you pointed out, is the company that now owns Monsanto that makes Roundup, proposes an $8 billion fund to settle Roundup cancer claims. Lisa Arkin,
yeah,
go ahead, Bridget. What do you make of that?
Oh, I was just going to say a lot of the confusion is coming from Monsanto. There's this there's this situation that's been come to be known as the Monsanto Papers, and it was where the company was caught colluding with the EPA and hiring ghostwriters to say that glyphosate is safe and that there's no correlation between glyphosate use and cancer. And the EPA is one of the only organizations that cites that research as their reasoning for why it's safe. Most other agencies, like the World Health Organization, does recognize glyphosate as a probable human carcinogen, and it's been proven in studies with dairy cattle and rats that it is a carcinogen.
We are talking about glyphosate in general terms at the moment, but specifically tied to the fact that the city of Eugene placed a moratorium on the use of glyphosate-based products, Roundup included, on city properties that get high public use. The idea is to protect public health. You can join us as we talk more with Bridget Daugherty, staff writer at consumersafety.org, Lisa Arkin, the executive director of Beyond Toxics based in Eugene. 800-838-3760 is our phone number if you'd like to join this discussion, or you can send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Lisa, is glyphosate near or atop your list of chemical concerns?
You know, Jeff, it's really hard to kind of pick one pesticide over another because they all have the potential to impact our health in different ways. Some of them are neurotoxins. Some of them are endocrine disruptors. Some of them cause cancer. So is glyphosate the very top? I would say, to be honest with you, actually not. We introduced a bill in the Oregon State Legislature this year to ban chlorpyrifos, which is a remnant of a World War II warfare chemical, and it is very damaging to the brain, particularly the brains of children who are exposed when they're in utero or in their developing years. So since we worked hard in the legislature, I'd have to say that chlorpyrifos tops our list. But glyphosate, because it's pervasive use in so many different environmental settings, is a deep concern to us. A recent study from a Canadian Journal of Forestry found that glyphosate actually remains in the environment for over a year at levels that are concerning. And so when I think about cities spraying glyphosate maybe to combat blackberries in a park and then people coming and eating those blackberries that might come up the following year, there's still a chance that they could be ingesting residues of glyphosate. So it is a concern, and we just want to choose safety over the use of something that could cause cancer when it's used in a school or a park.
Here again, there is room for some confusion, primarily centered around federal government treatment of these chemicals, because where the federal government says its research shows that that glyphosate doesn't pose any health risks, there are states like California that want at least warning labels on the Roundup product. Chlorpyrifos, the U.S. was in the direction of heading for a ban, and then once the president's changed, the Trump administration says it didn't want a ban on chlorpyrifos. Is that what happened there?
That's exactly what happened, and I think your point is well taken. A president can change, but the science doesn't change. The science was leading us to make a sound and safe decision to ban chlorpyrifos, and suddenly the science didn't matter anymore. But in the case of something like glyphosate and its ubiquitous use, we have to remember that small exposures over time really do matter, especially for children. And when we have evidence, the kind of evidence Bridget was talking about, that glyphosate can cause cancer, and we don't really have a lot of science about what happens when you combine glyphosate to exposure to other kinds of pesticides, because, you know, oftentimes it's combined in mixtures. It's not often sprayed alone. Then we really do have to take a precautionary approach and heed our care for children's safe and healthy development. You know, it's really shocking to me that in Oregon schools, there's a list of what's called, quote-unquote, low-impact pesticides that's been put out by Oregon State University, and 26% of the chemicals they recommend as herbicides contain glyphosate. So you know, I don't think it's smart to be taking a chance and spraying this just to kill a dandelion or two on school grounds.
How much has the use of Roundup, is a very popular herbicide, that is for sure. It seems like it's the first thing that people mention when they're talking about spraying for weeds. What do you know in the way of the increase in the use of the product over the years, Lisa?
Wow. Well, Bridget might have some more up-to-date information, but I think that the use of all pesticides has increased, and with that, we are also seeing an increase in the impact of pesticides on, for example, beneficial insects, which is something that's sometimes easier to measure than the health of children, where we don't have tracking systems. Mm-hmm. So it's on pesticide use in general is on the rise because they're using it for some new agricultural uses that weren't something we considered before. For example, glyphosate is used on crops just before they're harvested to dry out the crop, to make it easier to get a combine in there or something. And so what we're finding now is a lot of glyphosate residues on common foods that we eat. In fact, we did a study along with groups throughout the nation and found that you can detect dangerous levels of glyphosate on things like pinto beans and oat cereals that are sold in Oregon stores. And as I said, a lot of times the residue comes from the spraying of glyphosate on the crop just before it's harvested.
And normally glyphosate was used before planting, wasn't it?
Right. it's used to kill competing vegetation.
Mm. All right, so you spray around it, but not necessarily on the thing that you're using.
Right, and it's used in GMO crops. So as most people know by now, crops have been genetically engineered to withstand the use of glyphosate so that more and more glyphosate can be sprayed.
We are talking about the use of glyphosate in general, but also about the City of Eugene's moratorium on the use of glyphosate-based products like Roundup herbicide on city areas that have public use, parks, that sort of thing. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone as we talk to Lisa Arkin at Beyond Toxics and Bridget Doherty at consumersafety.org. 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Dorothy in Medford. Welcome to the exchange.
Thank you. There is a solution that's non-toxic to kill plants instead of using Roundup, and that solution is salt, table salt.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill bamboo, it'll kill blackberries, it will kill poison oak, and it'll kill any kind of weeds you want to kill. You can buy salt in a 25-pound sack at Food for Less or some of those stores for about $5. And I use it all the time to kill weeds, and it's very effective and it's not toxic.
What about the stuff that you spray? I mean, if is there a little overspray, can you also end up affecting the stuff that you don't want to kill?
I don't even spray it. I just pour the salt on the plant.
Okay, that's right. All right, thanks for that. Appreciate the call. Bridget, give us an idea of other alternatives there might be for pesticides.
So this, again, varies by the type of crop that you're using, but from a consumer perspective, I think the most important thing is to try and buy organic crops because they're less likely to have been treated with pesticides in the first place. The issue with pesticides is that they don't only affect the plants or the crops that are being sprayed, but they also affect the surrounding environments, the ecosystem, the water supply, even the air. But another thing that consumers can do is that they can actually use, if you buy produce that you're not sure where it came from, you can rinse it with water and vinegar, and that gets a larger percentage of sprayed pesticides off of the surface of the food.
Okay, I've heard about the water-vinegar combination, yes. Bridget, consumersafety.org, where you work, is sponsored by a law firm, the Mineo firm. Has it filed suits over glyphosate?
No. Mm-hmm. They mostly take personal injury and birth injury lawsuits. However, this is a really, really important issue, and we felt that that it was very, like, important to consumers that they know that this is a risk coming from every source of food, whether you're eating at Panera or McDonald's, or if you buy a box of Cheerios. So the Menil Group doesn't take any cases that have to do with there, but they've reviewed all of the content on our site to make sure that it's entirely accurate from a legal perspective. We have a medical writer on retainer on our staff who ensures that all the content on our site is completely medically accurate too. Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa Arkin, as we talk about regulatory regimes, and it looks like one of the things that brought California in contact with the EPA was about it wanting warning labels for Roundup, and the EPA says they're not necessary. I wonder, when you mention about using things that contain pesticides like glyphosate in combination, whether there are any warning labels on any of the products that say don't use these in combination with these other things.
There are no such warning labels, and that's a concern to us. I was mentioning the list of pesticides that are okayed for schools in Oregon, and it's disturbing to me for sure that a number of the products that are recommended might combine glyphosate with three or four other products. So, for example, I'm looking at that list right now, and there's something called Landmaster that has 2,4-D and isopropylamine, salt, and glyphosate all in one product. There's no ability for us to understand how that could affect a small child who's rolling around in the grass at recess, or in the case of my boys when they were little, they were constantly putting dandelions in their mouth and, you know, things like that. It's children interact with the environment in different ways than adults. They touch the soil, they touch the plants, they put things in their mouths, they rub things on their skin, and a lot of these products have warning labels. The very same products we're putting on our school grounds are warning about dermal exposure, which means you can absorb it through the skin, or damage to the eyes. A lot of them have warnings, don't go on these grounds for 12 hours after this product has been sprayed. And so I'm emphasizing schools because children have to go to school. We put our children in these environments because we want them to educate and to grow up to be productive members of society, and yet we're exposing them potentially to some very dangerous products. So I think schools and parks are the number one concerns, especially when they're using combination, as you just asked about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the city of Eugene certainly is throwing its weight behind a moratorium, so it won't be using Roundup and other glyphosate-based products on city property that gets big public use for the foreseeable future. Lisa Arkin, Beyond Toxics Executive Director, Bridget Doherty, Staff Writer at ConsumerSafety.org, thank you both for joining us.